Amen. I'm looking at the church this morning. That's needed today, that we need to examine ourselves this morning. Amen. Examine yourself. Your neighbor can't examine you. I can't examine you. But there's going to be a day that God is going to give you your final exam mark. He's not going to ask me for your mark. He's not going to ask me how do I think that you did. You're going to have to answer for yourself. So I encourage you to examine yourself today and from now on, because you don't even know when the exam is going to be covered. Amen? When you get this exam, you know how sometimes they give you a little extra, they start you off with an extra 30 points? That's not happening. Everybody has a chance to get 100, but I could tell you right now, he already said 99 and a half won't do. You need to examine yourself. What kind of spurred me on was I was, you know, Martin Luther King's birthday passed and everybody was talking about Dr. King, Dr. King, Dr. King. Actually, I was supposed to be in Memphis this week if I had my way. But that's not what God wanted me to do. So I wasn't in Memphis. I was here. But everybody knows about this I Have a Dream speech that Dr. King gave. Everybody quoted it. Everybody always talks about that speech. But before he gave that speech, there was another book that he wrote while he was in a Birmingham, Alabama jail. And it's called Letters from a Birmingham Jail. Amen? And there's an excerpt in there that he talks about the African-American community, and he said that we would be hampered. Amen? I want to read this. He said, first, I must confess that over the past few years, I have been greatly disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klan, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal that you seek, but I cannot agree with you in the methods of your direct action, who paternalistically believe that he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time and who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more convenient season. And then he says, shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. And here's the kicker. He says, lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. Lukewarm acceptance is more bewildering than outright rejection. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know where you're going with all of this? I'm going right here to the Word of God. Because being lukewarm is unacceptable behavior for a believer, and it is useless for the kingdom of God. The Lord is looking for believers who love the Lord enough to share him with a dying and confusing world. So I want us to glance this morning from the book of Revelations at the seven churches that John wrote about. And I want to specifically discuss the church at Laodicea. That is the church that Jesus had some pretty harsh words for. It's not that he didn't find something wrong with the other churches, but this church in particular, he had some real hard words for. Amen? The first six churches, Jesus comes to them and he rebukes them, but he acknowledges that, hey, you guys, you got a chance. To the church at Sardis, he says, you guys are alive, but you act like you're dead. You people just exist. To the church at Tyria, he says, I see what you're doing. You're doing more than you ever did before. But there's a Jezebel spirit that has entered. And there is sin going on in here. But you can correct that. Amen? To the church at Samaria, he says, I see the poverty. I see your struggles. I see that you desire to be faithful. But I want you to hold on because there will be persecution. But you be faithful and hold on. To the church at Ephesus, he says, you have lost your first love. Repent. Come back to me. And then to the church at Laodicea, he says, I know your deeds. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you would pick one. Because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, the word that he uses in the Greek when he says spit, it actually means a vomit. Now, you know when you vomit something out of your mouth, there is such a distaste for whatever it is that you inhaled, whatever it is that you ate. And not only that, after you vomit, you still have an aftertaste. Amen? He told this church, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Amen? These people, they thought that they were doing really good. They had no idea that why they were being rebuked. He says that you are poor, you are blind, you are naked. Worse than that, you think that you're okay. But then he turns around and he lets them know, if I love you, I rebuke you. Church, if I love you, I rebuke you. Amen? If I love you, I rebuke you. You rebuke your own children. You love them. You correct them. Amen? And then he always ends what he says to each one of those churches, this statement. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Amen? This is such a tremendous invitation by our Lord that no matter what, he's still going to be at that door knocking. And if you hear him and you receive him and you accept him, he has a place at the table for you. Somebody say amen. I know that there's times in my life where I rebuke somebody, I've cursed them out. They can't sit at my table. I don't forgive that easily. Amen? I'm talking about then. I'm not talking about now. Amen? But I want you to know that we don't live that way. But we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to live that way now. These people were dumbfounded because Jesus said, you're neither hot nor cold. Lukewarmness is indecisiveness. Lukewarmness is straddling the fence. Lukewarmness is trying to get the best of both worlds. Jesus said, you got to commit yourself either one way or the other. You're going to love me and hate them, or you're going to love them and hate me. There's no two ways about it. God, Jesus, hates lukewarmness because are watching the lukewarmness, and it don't give us a chance to convert them. It doesn't give us a chance to give them the message of Jesus Christ, because they're watching you and they don't know, they have no idea what it is that you're doing. You don't love the God that you serve. It is by your actions you're telling them that. You don't even believe half the things that you're saying. Revelation 3:13-16. Well, I'm going to go from 14 to 16. And he, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would work cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, I know that everybody focuses on that, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I know people like to focus on either you're hot or you're cold. But I need to break down this whole scripture to you so you can hear exactly what the word of God is saying here. It says, these things declare they amen. Well, who is they amen? The amen is the Lord Jesus Christ, designating himself, saying, I am the amen. Who is the witness? Jesus Christ is the witness. Paul puts it this way. He is the witness who proclaimed to Pontius Pilate who he is. Who is the truth? He is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the genuine one. That means he is the original. He was not created. God did not create Jesus. He was there at the creation. So he has a right to say, I am the original one. I am genuine. Amen? And it says creation of God. Amen? So Christ himself is the creation of God. So he is saying to this church that I declare that I am, these things are being said by the amen. They're not being said by any man. They're being said by the amen. They're being said by the faithful, because Jesus Christ was faithful here on this earth. It is being said by the true witness, and he is the true witness. You can't tell somebody something unless you're a witness to it. Amen? The first time something happened, when they're always looking for a witness. He says, I am the true witness. No matter what it is that's going on, I am the true witness. Another time, he says, I am that I am. But he's telling this church in Revelations, I am the true witness. And he says again, the beginning of the creation of God. I go back to the beginning of the creation of God because God is only a creation in our mind. Because that's the only way we can understand him. But God is not he is not a creation. Nobody created God. So when God writes these things, and these things are in the book, they're in the book so we can understand them with our mortal minds. So when he said the creation of God, so he says, well, in the beginning, God, well, that's when we created God in our minds. And when we got to understand who God is. So he's the true witness. He's there in the beginning. He understands all of these things. And he's saying to this church, the amen, the witness of all things, the genuine one, the one who's faithful, is telling you this. There is nothing like getting the word directly from the source. There's no hearsay. There's nobody whispering in somebody else's ear saying, well, he said this. Because, that's due to interpretation. Right? We've all done this experiment where I start here, I tell her one thing in her ear. By the time it gets to the back, it's something completely different. But what he's saying to the church, I'm telling you this. You don't have to look any further. Look to me. I'm telling you this. You're neither hot nor cold, and I hate it. You make me want to vomit. So I ask you this morning, how is your relationship with the Lord? Is it hot or is it cold? You know, when you're first get your first love, like he told the church, come back to your first love. When you first come to Christ, you're so hot. You want to be involved in everything. You want to come to Bible study. You want to call up people on the phone to get some interpretation of some scripture that you didn't understand. You're just so faithful. But then as time goes by, you start to lose that loving feeling. And all of a sudden, as you lose that loving feeling, you go from hot, not to cold, but lukewarm. When you're expecting a cold drink and somebody gives you something lukewarm, you spit it out. When somebody, you go somewhere and you buy some quote-unquote hot coffee and it's warm, you throw it out. Jesus Christ is coming back for a hot church. He's coming back for some hot saints. He's coming back for some saints that want to know that he wants to know they're where they want to be. He loves them and they love him. When you're lukewarm, he don't know. He knows that you don't love him, not as much as you profess to. Remember, he's the Amen, the creation of God, the faithful one, the witness. When I say witness, the witness of everything that you do in your life, and not just that you do it, stuff that's not in your heart. Because even though I can't see it, he can. See, that's the problem. That was their problem. They talked a good game. It looked really good. It looked like they had it going on. But God knows your heart. Timothy, in 1 Timothy, Paul writes, Jesus Christ, the one who witnessed before Pilate, the noble confession. It wasn't just a confession. It was a noble confession. And it was noble because there was just so much pressure on him to say something different, say something else. And we all get in situations where we have to do a noble confession. And when we have that time and that appointed time comes, do we give a noble confession? Or do we back off? You know, when you back off, that's exactly what the enemy wants. And not only that, you can't possibly love the Lord when you back off like that. Because you know what? When you love somebody or you love something, it don't make a difference where you at, who you with, what's going on. You will confess that love no matter what. Your child could be a mass murderer, and there's been cases of it. That mother will still stand there in court and say, that's my boy. Jesus Christ and all the stuff that we do, he still stands there and says, that's my son, and that's my daughter.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, when this was written in Revelations, he says, I know thy works with infallible. This is another interpretation of the same scripture. I know thy works with infallible and complete knowledge. Everything that we do and that we think and that's in our heart, he know everything, our works, with infallible and complete knowledge. You're lukewarm. You think that you're fooling pastor. Well, I'll be fooled. Fooling the ministers. They'll be fooled. We got some good actors here. You know, they need to come, Hollywood need to come to church. pick up some actors, pick up some of these extras, put them on the scene. Be some good actors. And then something, because your dirt will show up eventually. And you turn around and you look at the other person and say, well, I would have never thought that. Sister so-and-so? Brother so-and-so? Your dirt is going to show. You're not going to have any secrets, but for so long. You have secrets with us. But what the word is saying, I have infallible and complete knowledge of your works, of everything that you do. Amen? And it says that these works are as evidence of what thou really are. We don't really want people to know how we are. You know that, right? We really don't want people to know how we are. Our lives are really not open books. But there's a person. There is an entity called Jesus Christ. You can close the doors. You can pull down the shades. You can put a hood over your face. You could disguise yourself however way you want to. He knows it's you. And he's got his finger on you. Wherever you go, doing your little dirt, doing your little duty, whatever it is that you're doing, he's got his finger right on you because he's infallible with the knowledge of what it is. And he says, what you do is how you really are. That art neither hot nor cold. Now, when he says, would that work hot or cold? That word work, it's like it's a pain. Like, would you please? It was a would you please go one way or the other? It's a pain in that word work. It's not which could you, would you, should you? It's not nice, it's the pain in there. Jesus Christ loved them so much that he had a pain when he was saying, having this written, I have a pain. Could you be either hot or cold? Now, there's a bunch of metaphors for hot or cold. One thing is hot. You're hot when you come into the church. You're hot because hot water does a lot of, it cures a lot of things. It helps a lot of remedies. But so does cold. So you need to, whatever it is, you got to be either hot or cold to get the remedy cure. Amen? But there's another metaphor where he's saying that you're either going to be hot for Christ or just be cold. Cold like you never knew him at all. It's better to never known him at all than to know him and be lukewarm. In other words, it's better to never had the experience and to become lukewarm. I stand on that metaphor that it's better to not know than to know and act like you know. You ever had something go on with your children? You know that they know something and they act like they didn't know. Didn't that just make you even more upset? I didn't know. Yes, you did know. You just need to stop. Listen, you just need to stop saying that because you do know. You do know. Everybody in this church today, you want to know something? You do know. You can never stand before Christ and say, I didn't know. You do know. By virtue of you walking in here today, you know. That's not on me no more. That's on you. The word heats us up and makes us hot in faith and in works. Amen? This church of Lacedonia was lukewarm. It was nauseating. Amen? Jesus could not stand it. God can't stand it. Amen? So what are we to do? Amen? What are we to do? When we're no more different than the world. You see, when you're hot for Christ and you start hanging out with the world, you become lukewarm. See, that's the problem. You start accepting what they believe as acceptable. But we were made to be different. We were made to shine. Our lights are supposed to shine in a dark world. We're supposed to walk different, talk different, act different, do different things. But we want to do everything that they're doing. Hence, the church is getting lukewarm. People don't want to come to this church because they want to do the things that everybody else is doing. The benches should be filled. But because we stand by the word of God, there's people that won't come in here. They'd rather go to a church that tickles their ears. Hallelujah. They'd rather go somewhere where the music is playing and they're jumping up and down. Hallelujah. They'd rather go someplace where they say, oh, it's time to shout, and people come here and just start shouting. I went to a church not that long ago. Preacher says it's time to start shouting. Somebody got up out the bench and came straight up here and just started shouting. I said, well, what kind of cockamamie stuff is this? What kind of spirit is that? That can't be the spirit of a living God. That's a man's spirit. When the spirit hits you, no matter where you at, you're going to start jumping. You're going to start shouting. You don't believe me? Watch Sister Span. She'll be jumping and shouting in the middle of the aisle. Sorry, sister. I'd be worried about her. I'd be worried about her falling out, hitting her head. And she's falling out and hit her head. I said, Carolyn, you all right? She said, oh, I'm fine. I was in the spirit. I didn't feel nothing. But you let one of those people who have got that man spirit come up here and fall out, they might hurt themselves. They might say something that ain't so godly. Let them sprain that ankle or hit that head, slip and fall. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be changing the world for Christ. But the world is changing the church. So what happens when the church becomes useless for Christ's purposes? He spit them out. Hallelujah. He spit them out. When we ain't no longer available to give the word, when we're no longer hot for Christ, he's going to spit us out. Hallelujah. But in the midst of all of that, in the midst of every example of these seven churches, he says, I stand here and I knock. That means that there's still a chance. When he said, I'm going to spit them out, that means he's going to, because he hasn't spitted us out yet. Now, he's talking to seven churches in the book, but you need to take it personal. Do you want to know why? Because the church is people and it's not a building. So when he's talking about churches, he's talking about you and me. Amen? So you need to be either hot or cold. And you can't be cold, I already told you. You're either going to be hot or lukewarm. The choice is yours. He says that if he loves you, he disciplines you. Amen? He urges this church to be earnest, to be on fire, to totally commit themselves to him. The big C word. The big C word. The C word. The commitment. Nobody wants to be committed these days. I'm so glad this ain't First Sunday. But nobody want to be committed these days. Some got it, some didn't. People don't want to get married because they don't want to be committed. they say things like, why buy the cow if you can still get the milk? Right? But let me tell you something. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you ain't getting no milk. You got to take the whole cow. All or nothing. You have to take the whole cow. Word for word. You can't deviate to the left or to the right. His word is infallible. His word is true. His word has been there before the beginning of time. People are looking at things today and they act like they don't know what's happening. Pick up the word and you'll know exactly what is going on today. People are saying, I don't understand why we're having this kind of weather. Pick up the book, you'll find out. People don't understand why there's wars and rumors of wars. Pick up the book and you'll find out. I know that, you know what has fooled so many people have been saying for years, oh, you know the Lord is coming back soon. I don't know when he's coming back, but I know he's coming back soon because of the signs of the times. He wrote it in the book. And he's going to leave no stone unturned. There's not going to be a hiding place. Amen? You can't put nothing on that he's not going to see through. He's not going to play hide-go-seek with you. He's going to find you. He's going to call you. And when he calls you, you're going to have to bow down. No matter who you are, no matter what your title here on earth is, no matter how many kingdoms you got underneath you, no matter how many buildings you got, no matter how much money you got, how many cars, how cute you are, how ugly you are, whatever it is, ain't none of that gonna mean nothing. Because he ain't looking at none of that. He's looking at your soul. It's unbelievable. Some people are good looking and they think they got it going on because they good looking. Some people got money and they think they got it on because they got money. Some people have a big title and they think they got it going on because they got a title. But let me tell you something. The bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. So Paul in Corinthians challenged the Corinthians and he says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. And then he says, prove yourself. So not only are you going to examine yourself, but you have to prove it. And don't prove it to me, because I ain't your Lord and Savior. And on that day, I can't do nothing for you. Matter of fact, if you die before me and I'm still here, maybe I get to preach your funeral. That might be all I can do for you. But on that day, I'm not the judge and I'm not the jury. But you have to prove yourself. That is what Paul is saying. In doing so, he uses the present tense. He's saying, examine and prove. He's not saying, wait till you get home and examine yourself, think about what it is that you did yesterday that you know you shouldn't have did. He's saying right now, the present time, examine yourself. Now to do that, you got to do this. Remember that. You have to do this because the enemy don't want you to examine yourself. Because he wants you to think that I'm okay, but she's not. I'm okay, but he's not. You know that one really needs to go to the altar, not me. He says, examine yourself right now. He says, this examination, it's not one time, but it's ongoing activity. That means we have to examine ourselves all the time in order to know what our true condition is. You know your condition today could be a different condition tomorrow. It's not just in illnesses, but it's in the spiritual world because we are human and we are carnal. Just as soon soon as you walk out that door, your spirituality might change. You have to examine yourself. Then Paul says, in your self-examination, do you know yourselves? And then we easily fall into this trap called self-deception. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew yourself and then you turn around maybe the next day or the next hour or 2 hours later, 6 hours later, and you say, man, I believe I did that. You know yourself, but you turn around and say, I can't believe that I did that. Look. But if you knew yourself, you wouldn't have did that. If you know yourself, maybe there's some things that you say. You wouldn't have said that. So self-understanding and determination of who you think you are can be very self-deceiving. Amen? And sometimes the religious person, come on, somebody, the religious person is useless. You say, oh, you're stepping on some toes today. Yeah, I'm stepping on some toes. Because I know where do I see in the Bible that Jesus said he wanted a religious person. Because the Pharisees were religious. He don't want a religious person. You see, a religious person has all of these things that they feel like you must do. Amen? That's a religious person. But God wants this. And if you study his word, he'll tell you what you can and you can't. It's in here. Religion has turned so many people around the wrong way because they misquoted what's in there. And half the things that people used to read, they ain't even know what it meant. But they said it and they did it and we were affected by it. And not only were we affected by it, our children are affected by it. Because I know there's a lot of people here right now that got children that are not in here today because they were affected by the misinterpretation of this book by religious people. But by the grace of God, they'll be back. We cannot truly trust solely upon ourselves of what we think of ourselves. We are only approved if the Lord commends us. Because everybody here likes to do like this. Boy, you're doing a good job. You know what, boy, he preaching today. He laying people out. Look at him. Look. Amen. We do a good job patting ourselves on the back. But the Bible says we are only commended when the Lord commends us. We're only commended when the Lord commends us. Amen? My commendation is going to come from God. Yes. It's not going to come from somebody saying, you did good today. Maybe it was good for you, but it wasn't good for somebody else. God commends us. The Lord commends us. We don't need to be patting our own selves on the shoulder because we might think that we're right, but there's that final arbitrator. That final arbitrator, you ever been to arbitration where you're on one side, the other person on the other side, and you got that person there saying who's right, who's wrong, which way to go? Jesus Christ is the arbitrator. He is the final arbitrator. So between you, we got an argument going on, we need to just leave it alone. Let God convict and let him commend. Amen. Let him settle the issue. Yes. Amen? Amen? Paul had a thought. He thought he was right. He thought he was serving God when he was going around persecuting Christians. You know why? Because his religion told him that we need to kill and get rid of these people. We need to persecute the Christians because they're not following the law. They're following somebody called Jesus Christ. So his religion and what he thought was right had him killing people. Paul had to get turned around. Amen? Because what he thought was right wasn't right. Sometimes we got to get turned around because what we think is right is not right. Amen? Amen? There's going to be plenty of people at Judgment Day who thought they were pleasing God during their lifetime. And they're going to find out that they wasn't. Amen? Because they're going to think that they knew what was in here instead of reading to find out what is actually in here. Because as the moderator said this morning, you could read a scripture over and over and over again and get a different interpretation of what that scripture means and how it can be applied. Something that you thought you knew yesterday is different today. That's the only way you can get into this book called the Bible, and you think that you got heard the message on a certain chapter, a certain scripture, that something totally different can come out of it. Because the word is deep. It is deep. It was written, men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that when they wrote that, they didn't think about what they were writing. They just wrote because they were being told what to write. It's like when the Holy Spirit inspires you, you'll be doing something and you won't know how you done it and how you got it done, but he has inspired you to do it. But when we decide to do things on our own, we start looking at that mountain that we have to climb and we can't do it. We're so intimidated by things. But God will lead you up that mountain. The Spirit will take you by your bootstrap and carry you up that mountain. And you'll say, I don't know how I got there, but it must have been the Lord. God is challenging us to do greater things in his kingdom. And in order to do that, you cannot be lukewarm. And greater things, all of us can do. You don't need a title to do it. Part of the reason you're looking for pastor to do something great, but you got greatness in you.
Hallelujah.
You got greatness in you. You just got to look for the source to give you the power to do those things. And it ain't here. It's up there. We cannot compare ourselves to others or trust their approval. To compare ourselves to others is unwise. And the approval of others, that's a small thing. You know, I can't preach a message waiting for your approval. Because you're going to approve and you not. I need his approval. In anything that you do, you search God's word, you hear his voice, you get his approval. He will let you know. He will give you the okay.
Yes.
Problem is, we don't wait for his approval. We wait for our friend's approval.
Yeah.
For somebody else to give you the okay to go ahead and do it. And then when you fall flat on your face, you'll realize that it wasn't God. That it was you and your friend. Matter of fact, it's going to be you because your friend's going to be gone. We must try always to move ourselves by God's standard, which is God's work. A word. Remember, the Lord is he gives us the recommendation, and he is the one that approves things. It is the Lord who will be the ultimate judge. As the Lord himself has said, we will be judged by his words. Look it up. It's in John 12:48. He says we will be judged by his words. You won't be able to say, well, this person told me to go do it. He's going to say, well, there's no book in here called Pastor Philip Boone that you can point to and says that do this. He says we are going to be judged by his words. This is his words. This is his words. And you want to know something? We need to know his words because his words can be misinterpreted. misinterpreted, manipulated, used for ill will. That's why we need to know his words, because you'll be going when you think you should be going. And you're going to say, I did everything you told me to. And he's going to say, no, you didn't. You did what that person told you to. It's not in here. He might say, show me. He might laugh. Show me. Show me. Give me the scripture. Give me the chapter. Give me the scripture. Show me. More than likely, he ain't even going to waste his time with you. Amen? The world tells us that it's okay to believe in God, but to actually love him is too extreme. There's a lot of people that you talk to, they're going to say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. But I don't do all of that stuff. I don't pay tithes. I don't do that stuff. I don't give offering. I don't do that stuff. I don't go to church. I don't do that stuff. I pray, but I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe that stuff. See, because they don't know. To believe in God is to believe in his Son. To believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To know that his Son was God himself coming down here in human form. To know that the only way that you could actually speak to God is through his Son. He is actually like his armor bearer. He's standing right in front of him. Like this. And you can't get through that door. You can't talk to him. You have no access to him except through his Son. The world wants you to stay and tell you, oh yeah, I believe that there is a God. Lukewarm people love God as long as it doesn't affect their standard of living. You know, I love God. I love everything. I love going to church, this and that. But I just can't get that 10%. You know, that's asking a little much. You know, I love him, but I just can't go to church. I just can't be around them people, you know. You know, you are them people. I just can't be around them people. They're a bunch of hypocrites. But I love God. But he says in his word, don't forsake. Because you want to know something? You know that job that God gave you that you don't want to give your 10% for? Same them that are here in church is the same them on your job. But you won't leave your job because you're getting something for it. But what you're getting for being on your job is temporary. What you're getting here is eternal. You know what? I don't care what them people do, and I'm talking about each and every one of you, I'm not running out of here. I'm not leaving my relationship with the Lord. You got to have that attitude. You can't let somebody run you out of your relationship with the Lord. Amen. So many people have left because of other people. They still here and you gone. Got back into your old habits, all the things you used to be into. Because you done lost hope. You done lost your fellowship. You're blind and you don't even know you're blind. And you're doing the same, or you're resorting to your old tactics. You know, when you don't know something, you go back to the way that it used to be. You go back to your old tactics. You wonder why people are incarcerated, they come out, they go back, because when they lose hope, they go back to what they know best. We do what we do. We go back to what we know best. I don't know about you, but you know what you know best. You know what you know best. Don't look at me. You know. You know. You know. You know. You know. I know what I do best. That's why I better stay here. If a person is lukewarm towards thing that